Are you getting the symmetry here?
Are you seeing the perfection? It is all contained in a single truth. There is only one of us.
Tell me about space.
Space is time demonstrated. In truth, there is no such thing as space, pure, empty space with nothing in it. Everything is something. Even the emptiest space is filled with vapors so thin, so stretched out over infinite areas that they seem to not be there. Then after the vapors are gone, there is energy, pure energy. This manifests as vibration, oscillations, movements of the all at a particular frequency. Invisible energy is the space which holds matter together. Once, using your linear time as a model, all the matter in the universe was condensed into a tiny speck. You cannot imagine the denseness of this, but that is because you think that matter, as it now exists, is dense. Actually, what you now call matter is mostly space. All solid objects are 2% solid matter and 98% air. The space between the tiniest particles of matter in all objects is enormous. It is something like the distance between heavenly bodies in your night sky. Yet these objects you call solid. At one point, the entire universe actually was solid. There was virtually no space between the particles of matter. All the matter had the space taken out of it. And with the enormous space gone, that matter filled an area smaller than the head of a pin. There was actually a time before that time when there was no matter at all, just the purest form of highest vibration energy, which you would call antimatter. This was the time before time, before the physical universe as you know it existed. Nothing existed as matter. Some people conceive of this as paradise or heaven because nothing was the matter. It's no accident that today in your language, when you suspect something is wrong, you say, "What's the matter?" In the beginning, pure energy, me, vibrated, oscillated so fast as to form matter, all the matter of the universe. You too can perform the same feat. In fact, you do every day. Your thoughts are pure vibration, and they can and do create physical matter. If enough of you hold the same thought, you can impact, even create, portions of your physical universe.
Is the universe now expanding?
At a rate of speed you can't imagine.
Will it expand forever?
No. There will come a time when the energies driving the expansion will dissipate, and the energies holding things together will take over, pulling everything back together again.
You mean the universe will contract?
Yes. Everything will quite literally fall into place, and you'll have paradise again. No matter. Pure energy. In other words, me. In the end, it'll all come back to me. That is the origin of your phrase, it all comes down to this.
But that means that we will no longer exist.
Not in physical form, but you will always exist. You cannot not exist. You are that which is.
What will happen after the universe collapses?
The whole process will start all over again. There will be another so-called Big Bang, and another universe will be born. It will expand and contract, and then it will do the same thing all over again and again and again, forever and ever, world without end. This is the breathing in and breathing out of God.
Well, this is all, again, very interesting, but it has very little to do with my everyday life.
As I said before, spending an inordinate amount of time trying to unravel the deepest mysteries of the universe is probably not the most efficient use of your life. Yet there are benefits to be gained from these simple layman's allegories and descriptions of the larger process.
Like what?
Like understanding that all things are cyclical.
Including life itself. Understanding about the life of the universe will help you to understand about the life of the universe inside you. Life moves in cycles. Everything is cyclical. Everything. When you understand this, you become more able to enjoy the process. not merely endure it. All things move cyclically. There's a natural rhythm to life, and everything moves to that rhythm. Everything goes with that flow. Thus it is written, for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Wise is the one who understands this. Clever is the one who uses it. Few people understand the rhythms of life more than women.
Women live their whole lives by rhythm. They are in rhythm with life itself. Women are more able to go with the flow than men. Men want to push, pull, resist, direct the flow. Women experience it, then mold with it to produce harmony. A woman hears the melody of flowers in the wind. She sees the beauty of the unseen. She feels the tugs and pulls and urges of life. She knows when it is time to run and time to rest, time to laugh and time to cry, time to hold on and time to let go. Most women leave their bodies gracefully. Most men fight the departure. Women treat their bodies more gracefully when they are in them, too.
Men treat their bodies horribly. That is the same way they treat life. Of course, there are exceptions to every rule. I'm speaking here in generalities. I'm speaking of how things have been until now. I'm speaking in the broadest terms. But if you look at life, if you admit to yourself what you are seeing, have seen, if you acknowledge what is so, you may find truth in this generality.
Yet that makes me feel sad, you know? That makes me feel as though women are somehow superior beings, that they have more of the right stuff than men.
Part of the glorious rhythm of life is the yin and the yang. One aspect of being is not more perfect or better than another. Both aspects are simply and wonderfully that aspect. Men obviously embody other reflections of divinity, which women eye with equal envy. Yet it has been said that being a man is your testing ground or your probation. When you have been a man long enough, when you have suffered enough through your own foolishness, when you have inflicted enough pain through the calamities of your own creation, when you have hurt others enough to stop your own behaviors, to replace aggression with reason, contempt with compassion, always winning with no one losing.
Then you may become a woman. When you have learned that might is not right, that strength is not power over, but power with, that absolute power demands of others absolutely nothing, when you understand these things, then you may deserve to wear a woman's body, for you will at last have understood her essence.
Then a woman is better than a man.
No, not better. Different. It is you making that judgment. There is no such thing as better or worse in objective reality. There is only what is and what you wish to be. Hot is no better than cold, up no better than down, a point I've made before. Hence, female is no better than male. It just is what it is, just as you are what you are. Yet none of you are restricted, more limited. You can be what you wish to be, choose what you wish to experience,